Wow. Don't you think that God has been so misrepresented in the world, and sadly often through the church? There's two things that are really, if you hear nothing else this morning, Father God wants intimacy in relationship with you. What does that infer? He likes you. He may not have liked what you've done. He hates sin, brokenness and all the distress in our lives, but he loves us and wants intimate relationship. And it gets better. The kind of crackness and brokenness of our lives, the vessels that we are, he wants to live in. I sometimes think God's got quite a big problem, really. Don't you? I just think like that, because our broken lives, and he wants to relate to the world, he wants to love the world through us. And yet, it's just a mystery. We just have to say it's a massive mystery that he's restoring and renewing us, because that's good for us, but also so that we can be good news to people around us. Now, sadly, when it comes to relationships, often some of the worst people... Oh, no, I better be careful with this. Sometimes Christians can be some of the worst people, can't we? You know, we can be bigoted, we can have this kind of view on life. But if we don't love people, if we don't relate to people, if we don't know intimacy with God, you know, we can really wind some people up unnecessarily. But that's not to say that we back off, because we've got a message. We are good news, and God is working good news into us all the time. And you know, if you've been here in the last few months, you'll know that as a leadership team, we've been kind of gobsmacked by a lot of the stuff we've been looking at in terms of kingdom cultures. But this whole family thing is so crucial that we get it. And I've just been thinking this week that if I was the kind of person I'd like to leave some kind of legacy, I'd like to be known for something, I'd like to be a leader that worked with others who helped to create and sustain and protect an environment where everyone just felt free to be themselves, to love God gloriously, to take his hand every day and just be a child in his hands and use the gifts that God's given you for the blessing of the church community and the world in which we live. Relational church is the heart of who I am. And so I love talking about it, and it kind of comes out different each time. And one of the things that we're trying to do here at Brookside is to get you not switching off when people teach, but actually activate a learning kind of mentality. So you've got a bit of paper. If you're wondering how you're going to cultivate a bit of relationship with God this week, there's a few questions here that will, if you listen carefully, hopefully you'll find some of the answers this morning. Just that word relationship. Why not take some time to think biblically about what God's like and what he says in his word about our relationships together, and write down some words? And when you discover something that you're weak in, how about asking God to strengthen that particular part or characteristic in your life? Now, the difficulty in relationships, it often takes another person to point that out. I mean, for those of you who are in a marriage relationship, it can be quite uncomfortable, can't it, when your partner says, "You're always like that," or whatever it happens to be. It's always said in love, of course, isn't it? But, you know, we have companions, and not just in marriage relationships, in the church community, when we're in safe relationships, we should be able to get to a place where we don't mind people passing on one or two helpful, encouraging, not less kick up the backside maybe, but encouraging words that will help us grow in our relationships. And right back at the beginning of this particular culture, we said that relationship is right at the very heart of heaven. How do we know that? Well, let's just read the words again from John 17. This famous prayer that Jesus prayed towards the end of his ministry on earth. Quite a long prayer. But in John 17, verse 20, Jesus prays this: "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." This is, you could say, an eternal prayer, isn't it? He's praying down the generations. And although he prayed this, you know, 2,500 years ago, in his mind he'd have seen us individually. And he was praying for us all that time ago, that those who would believe through the message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I, you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as you are one. There's something to do with God's glory and unity of relationship here that's really, really critical. Week by week in Reading, most of you know, we meet together as leaders of churches and charities. And just in the last few weeks, there's been, in the Wednesday meetings, a step up of stories, of things that God's doing. And you can't separate that out from the sense of unity that's happening across the town. Because when there's unity, God commands blessing, doesn't he? And he loves the unity in relationship. And it's not just about what you believe. Because if you go around a group of leaders, you'll find there's a lot of different belief systems. The fundamentals are pretty well the same, but there are different views on all sorts of things. But in terms of relationship and love and affection, there's a lot of that growing. And that's happening here at Brookside, isn't it? Either I'm completely mishearing people, but I'm hearing people saying, you know, I love being part of this church. And if you have the privilege and access of getting onto things like Facebook, it's great after a Sunday meeting just to get a little bit of feedback of how people are feeling and what God's doing in their lives. So praying that they'll be one as we are one. Isn't that an amazing prayer? The same kind of oneness as exists between the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. In heaven, there is perfect security in relationship, isn't there? And then Jesus said, pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Where?
On earth.
Where's the earth? Here. Let it be the same here as it is in heaven. In other words, Jesus is praying. Let it be the same. He's got a lot of faith praying that prayer, hasn't he? But that's what he prays, and we've been working it out ever since. But he sent the Holy Spirit to help us. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity. And the purpose of this, to let the world know that you sent me. So we're not internalizing all this kind of lovely stuff that's happening in relationships together. It's to leak from us as the church community. So I'm going to talk about misrepresentation. The Bible is fundamentally about relationships. There is a slight hint in the words Old Covenant and New Covenant, aren't there? You know, why have covenants if they don't exist in the context of relationship? The whole of the Word of God is about relationship. It's about relationship with God, relationship with one another, relationship as families, husbands, wives, aliens, strangers, you name it, it's in there. It's about relationships. And then there's a great commandment of loving God. We've got it up here, haven't we? Living the great commandment. Loving God and loving our neighbour as ourselves is all about relationship. It helps to be in good relationship with yourself. It's a strange concept, isn't it? Actually loving yourself. And in a sense, we're all on a road to recovery, aren't we? You know, we're all cracked vessels. There's all bits of damage being picked up. But you know, one of the most difficult things is when we build a wall around ourselves and think, this is it, this is me, this is my lot. And we have this kind of protection. And it gets a little tricky in church when the Holy Spirit comes along and says, actually, I want to pull down those walls and build some good foundations into your life. But will you let the Holy Spirit, do you trust the God who says to us today, I want intimacy with you, to come and repair your broken walls? Because that's what he's in the business of doing. There's tears. Yeah, it feels a little bit of pain in getting healed. But the end result, if we trust this Father God, who's a father to us, is wholeness and restoration. It's estimated that 44% of the New Testament letters are about how to get along with one another, compared with 4% on spiritual gifts. You know, just to keep a sense of perspective. What we're saying here, are spiritual gifts not important? Of course they are. We want to elevate spiritual gifts, but if the Bible only talks about it in 4% of its words, but 44% about relationships together, then this stuff is pretty important. Have you heard of the one another's? Ooh, gone too far, I think. Nope, there we go. Love one another, be devoted to one another, honour one another, live in harmony with one another, build up one another, be like-minded towards one another, accept one another, admonish one another, care for one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another, be patient with one another, be kind and compassionate to one another, speak to one another with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, submit to one another, consider one another better than yourselves, look to the interests of others, bear with one another, teach one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, stir up one another, show hospitality, employ the gifts that God has given us for the benefit of one another, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, pray for one another, confess hit that too far. It's going to all happen again now. Where were we? Oh yeah, employ the gifts that God has given for us for the benefit of one another. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Pray for one another. Confess our faults to one another. We do all these things because we belong to one another. And all these commands do not take into account the things that we are not to do to one another. Quite a lot there, isn't there? So you get the message. In the heart of God. And the heart, I'm going to see it all again now. I spent a little while putting this graphic together, so you may as well see it twice. Which one do you like best? Not the words, it's the way they come on the screen, I mean. Bear with... Oh. See, I always get a hard time with jokes. People say my jokes are corny, but they're not as bad as that, are they? Sorry?
Where's the encouragement?
Oh, sorry, encouragement. Nigel, I think you've got a real gift of humour. I just pray, Lord, that it gets sharper and better.
Didn't subtle come in amongst
that S? Subtle. Alright, just because you're in the front row. That chair's going towards the back next week. In a loving kind of way. So behave. So, but at the heart of relationships, it all comes back to our personal security in God and with one another. I want you just to close your eyes a minute. And I want you to imagine yourself just like the prodigal son who's run away. He's got into all of this indulgence and all of the stuff. You've heard this story loads of times here at Brookside, and you're going to go on hearing it loads more because it's absolutely central to our understanding of who God is and who we are. And with your eyes closed, after about 30 seconds, when I say go, I want you to describe the words that you feel as a prodigal son, prodigal daughter, it doesn't matter. You're back in the Father's arms. He's run towards you. He's embraced you. You stink. Okay. I want you to just call out the words that you're feeling held tightly in the Father's arms in 30 seconds time when I say go. So just think about it first. Just feel what that feels like. Feel His love. Okay, start speaking out some of the words that you are feeling.
In
relief.
Love.
Love.
Cherished.
Cherished.
Overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed.
Loved amazingly.
Loved amazingly.
Unreserving.
Safe. Unreserving.
Accepted.
Accepted.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Rescued.
Wanted.
Wanted.
Secure.
Secure.
Hope.
Hope.
Gratitude.
Patient.
Patient.
Absence of fear.
Absence of fear, was that?
Treasured.
Treasured.
Warmth.
Warmth.
Cherished.
Cherished.
Blessed.
Blessed.
Secure.
Secure.
A bit confused.
A bit confused.
Home. What?
Home.
Sorry for the pain.
Sorrow for the pain caused.
Acceptance.
Say again?
Acceptance.
Acceptance.
Overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed.
Understand who to follow.
Say that again?
Understand who to follow.
Understand who to follow.
Unconditionally loved.
Understood and unconditionally loved. Say that again.
Slate wiped clean.
Slate wiped clean. Good. That was a dialect from another part of the country, wasn't it? Thanks, Michelle, that's good.
Security.
Right, now, just be quiet and let God, let the Holy Spirit, any of those words that maybe are words that you're not experiencing, let's just quietly invite the Holy Spirit to wrap his arms around you, wrap the Father's arms around you. Those of you who've spoken out those words this morning, you've brought a major contribution into this talk. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for every person who's here this morning, who's out with the children or young people who are away today for whatever reason, every person who's remotely part of this church here at Brookside, that every one of those words that we've spoken will be our experience. That we'll know you holding us because you're a God who wants intimacy with us. Despite the fact that we've run off and messed up, we've come back into your arms again. And we long to experience and to know the truth of you being the Father that you are. Help us to be strong enough to resist the lies of the enemy that says that you don't want to hold us, that you want to push us away. That is just not true. So I pray that we'll be refreshed in our understanding of truth, that you are our Father who deeply loves us and wants to hold us. And for us to know that security. In Jesus' name, amen.
Steve, I have a really strong sensation of just being scared.
Being scared.
Of actually, I can't go there.
Okay.
And I think it's probably worth someone else. I can't go there, I'm scared I'm going to be rejected. I'm dirty.
Okay.
And I just really feel that maybe somebody, that's what they're feeling, they're standing there thinking, I can't take that step forward.
Okay. Did everybody hear that? You may feel scared about going into the Father's arms because you don't know if you can do that. It's a big thing for you to do. Don't know that you can do that. Would you be prepared to pray for that person, those people afterwards? So, Eileen, can you just quickly stand up? This is Eileen. Have a cup of coffee together, yeah. Pray. So if you're feeling that you can't do that, in the grace of God, actually you can, but by being prayed for, it could just unlock that feeling of feeling you can't feel safe in the Father's arms. This is really important to get. God's government is not rules and regulations or legislation. It's fundamentally about relationship, and it all flows out of what we've just described, because that is the experience of Father God that we want to give to other people. Yeah? Don't we? That's the kind of God we want to communicate. We've heard this phrase recently, again, taste and see that the Lord is good. As we taste and see he's good, we can give other people a taste that he's good. I was talking to someone this week, and I pray for this particular person quite regularly, and I ask how he's doing, and he said to me that things were going quite well, and he said, I don't know what happens, but he said, after we've had a conversation, things seem to just get a bit better. And I say, well, usually when it's over at the training ground at the football club, when I'm driving away, I pray for you. And I pray this, that you will get to know the real God. Because I said, sometimes church has done a disservice to him, but God wants you to do well in your management and your relationships. Not the manager of Reading Football Club, by the way, because you think that's not working too well after this week, wouldn't you? But someone else. And all the time there are people around us who need to taste and see this kind of God. That's why we need to be living in it and developing it and understanding it. God is passionate. Oh, by the way, if you're a husband here today, do you know why it's important to love your wife? It's good for her. It's good in the marriage context. But you know, one of the primary things for husbands is that we're modelling the Father's love for his church and his love for people. That's one of the reasons it's really important. What kind of message have we got as Christians if we're not doing that well? So, little challenge there for husbands. How do we know that God is passionate about the restoration of relationships? Well, he sent his son into the world. What did he say? What does the Bible say at the end of Malachi? Can anyone remember about the fathers and the sons? What's the promise?
Turning the hearts
of the fathers and the hearts of the sons. I've said this loads of times. We're living in an age where we so need to see those words outworked, don't we? And the promise there is that before the great and second coming of the Lord, that there will be a lot of this going on. How is that going to happen except it happens through people like us? We are the agents of communicating, living and bringing this healing into the world. That's another reason for be working it out. So we've already looked at this. I was going to do this now, but I thought it would be good fun to do it earlier. All of these different attributes of relationship that, humanly speaking, by the way, can I just hit the pause button? If there are one or two people in the last few minutes that we've got here this morning and you have experienced a degree of healing, you may not be there yet, whatever, wherever there is, but if you've experienced God bringing healing into you in terms of relationships where you feel that you're a stronger person than you were, it'd be great to have a couple of testimonies or stories about how that's happened, because it's one thing having people like me talking to you in the morning, but when we hear stories of ordinary people, I find that hugely encouraging, don't you? So just, if that's you, you know, your heart's pumping a little bit now I've mentioned that, just very, very briefly, I think it's really helpful to have stories to see how God is repairing and restoring us. So, yeah, we had reality, we had encouragement, we had love and laughter. We're going to laugh more, aren't we? The joy of the Lord is our strength. We sang it in that great song. It was really good singing that song about, what was it about again? Hope, joy and believing. I knew I was going to say something, but I'd forgotten it instantly. May the God of all hope fill you with peace and what?
Joy.
What's joy then? Even in difficult life circumstances, we can have joy. We've been through a few of those, but we've sensed the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's how we get through these tough times. Joy and laughter. We need Nigel's humour. And everyone else's. We need to be a family that knows how to have fun. By the way, at Christmas time, we're going to have a party together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have a party here. We're going to have a party on a Saturday night. I can't remember the date now. It's a couple of weeks. 22nd of December. We're just going to have a get together, do a few things. We thought it's about time we had a bit of fun together. We should be good at fun, shouldn't we?
Yes. Yes, we should.
Love and laughter. Acceptance. Trust. And I appreciate that a lot of these things take time to rebuild when they've been broken in the journey of our lives. And the good thing about God is he is in the repair business. He's recovering us in all these different areas. And yeah, do take the opportunity to write some of these things down and have a look. Now, all of these things on the up there, during the week I was thinking I could find all of these things in the life of Jesus. He is the source of good relationship. So think about, you know, just pick out a couple about reality. When was Jesus real in the Bible? Can you remember any occasions? You know, specific incident.
When he wept.
He was fully God, fully human, but he wept. I was thinking also when he called to the Father, please take this cup away from me. He was real about the pain and the separation and what was to come. When he jumped, turned over the tables. Yeah, he got a bit cross about the exploitation that was going on around the temple. Can you think of it? Pick out another word and think of Jesus being one of those things. It's good to encourage us one another. By the way, all my talks are turning much more interactive, if you notice. You are part of the talk, so. Anything else stand out that you can think of a story? I mean, it's the obvious one, like sacrifice, isn't there? Sorry? What happened on his way to Jerusalem?
He wept.
Oh, he wept, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Acceptance.
Hold on just a moment.
The woman
caught in adultery. Jesus showed her acceptance. Yeah, brilliant.
Healing.
Which word are you thinking of? Inspiration? Yeah, all of these words, and that's why I want to really encourage you to go away and write down a few more during the week, looking at those notes. really important. So, my summary for this morning, relationships in the church. The church is God's community through which family and relationships should be modelled and visible. There's nothing worse than a church context that hasn't got a true sense of koinonia, fellowship and relationship. It's out of our love for one another that people see that we belong to Jesus and we actually quite like one another. Relationship is at the heart of heaven through the example of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. The Bible is fundamentally about relationships. You know, every single story about people is about relationships and how they work together and how they fell out and how all the different things that happen. The Bible is rich in terms of relationship. Heaven's government is not about rules, regulations, and legislation, but about relationship. Even if you tried your hardest to work out the Ten Commandments, in the absence of a relationship with God, you would come unstuck. It all works around relationship. There are many constituent parts to forming and sustaining relationships, but they all exist and hold together in Jesus. That is good news. This is good news. But we need purposeful structures that are essentially relational and help us grow in our relationships with God, each other, and our neighbours. I was thinking about this, about small groups. We've got missional communities, we've got some home groups, we're cell groups, whatever we call them, doesn't really matter. But of the heart of our smaller group life, it's impossible to have real relationships with every single person, isn't it? Pretty well, but there are people that we should be able to find and dig out that we can be real with. And I just want to call out again today that if you're not part of any small group, it doesn't have to be exclusively one that's a Brookside based one, but so long as you are somewhere connecting with other Christians where you can actually work at some of this stuff, it's really, really important, because otherwise we tend to stagnate and we withdraw, we go backwards, don't we? We need relationships. We need one another. And I would encourage you to do that. And the last thing I wanted to say this morning is, please, 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 you know, it's great when God gives someone like Eileen a word about, are you this kind of person? You need this kind of help. But the bottom line when it comes to relationships is that no one is going to take responsibility for your life. It has to be you. And if you're sat there in woundedness and in disappointment and hurt and pain, you have to take responsibility, and that could well involve forgiveness. But I would really encourage you, for your sake, for the sake of the rest of the church and for the sake of the world that you live and work among, get restored. Whether that's through counselling, getting alongside someone that you respect and you want a bit of mentoring, whatever it happens to be, do not stagnate, do not go backwards, but actually take responsibility for getting whole in relationships. Now, is anyone here this morning, just in winding down, who's... Yeah, great, Helen, thank you. Put the teddy bears back up for you.
Hello,
I thought you were going to bring some.
Oh, no, you do. I was going to share, And then Steve said, forgiveness and restoration. And so I just wanted to share, a few years ago, a relative who I should have been able to trust hurt me over a number of occasions. And I really struggled with that for a long time, and it really destroyed members of my family who were aware of what had happened. And I came to a place where, right from the start, I kept saying, I know that I have to forgive him, and I do, I forgive him, and it didn't make any difference. And I would just say to anyone who's in that situation, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, just persevere with it, because as Steve said, we have to take responsibility for our own lives. And I am really grateful, I'm very thankful to God and for those who helped me at the time, because I decided that I could report him, I could make him hurt as much as he hurt me. But at the end of the day, he's a member of my family, and I wanted to forgive him and give him the opportunity to say sorry. And I saw him last weekend, and we hugged, and I can honestly say that our relationship is not only fully restored, but it's better than it ever was before, and we have a trusting relationship now. And I just thank God for that, because I couldn't have done it without him. So I just wanted to, rather than dwell on what happened, I just wanted to say that if there is anyone who's feeling that way, who perhaps has been harbouring this for a long time, or maybe just a short term, just keep persevering, because the devil loves it when we don't forgive, and he loves it when we're angry. And actually, the only person that was really hurting as time went on, it was me, because everyone else was moving on, and it was destroying me. So I'm really thankful to God, because obviously it still upsets me that it happened, but I can honestly say that I forgive him. I forgive him, and I know he meant no harm, and he'll never do it again, and he'll never do it to anyone else. So just keep going.
Brilliant. Well done, Helen. That's just a really important point, isn't there, in that, in terms of sometimes people don't realise what they're doing to us unless we can relate back to them and talk with them and be bold and brave enough to say, did you know this left me feeling like whatever it was? So, relationships together. Maybe one other person, if there is someone who feels that they'd like to. Jody.
It's really funny, isn't it, when something comes and hits you out of left field that you didn't think was coming, because I've been feeling rough all week and really grumpy this morning. Apologies. But really funny, the word restoration. Many of you know my grandmother passed away last year. But before she passed away, she was ill. And we brought her up to live here from Exeter. And it was a challenging time for all of us. We had a checker passed. And, you know, God has been doing so much in my life. But I feel like I'm a bit selfish coming and saying, oh, well, God did this as well. But it is to give him glory, but it's also to encourage you. So when we were growing up, I've got an older sister. My older sister is brilliant, pretty, clever, uber child, adored by my grandmother, favoured by my grandmother for 37 years. And it's really difficult not being the favoured one. But God gave me this word restoration when we brought her up. And it was about far more than my relationship with my grandmother, but it was involved in it, because it's also how I perceived God, how I perceived Jesus, because I wasn't the favoured one. And that is something you learn to live into. And that coupled with other stuff that I've shared before, it's been an interesting time. And God gave me this promise. I was like, right, God, I'll take you at your word then, restoration. Let's see how that one's going to work out, because I really don't like your hair. God gave me the grace. And when my grandmother actually died, Mum and Dad were in Wales. And I had a call on a Sunday morning to say, she's going to die, can you come? And I knew that they had to get back, and I knew I needed to get there. So, let's take her. So, she gave me a big hug and said, off you go. But I had time with my grandmother to really have it out with her, even though she was pretty much comatose, bless her, not her fault. But the healing that actually went on in that time was so significant. I can fully say my relationship with my grandmother was restored, and I knew that it didn't matter that I hadn't been her favourite child, because my relationship with her at that point was restored. And I now look at my grandmother, I have got no ill feeling towards her. I look at what she had with my sister, and it doesn't affect me. I am freed from that. I just want to encourage you, because it can be the simplest thing. You know, she's never mean to me overtly, nothing like that. But it still colours you somehow. But yeah, if God tells you, he can restore you, yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Helen and Jody, for exposing yourselves in that way and telling us your stories. That really helps us, doesn't it? To hear those real stories. Every one of us has got a real story that's emerging, or that is important to share at the right time. So, Father, we thank you that you are great at relationship, and that you're at work in us. And you've told us this morning you want intimate relationship with us, and that you dwell in our broken bodies, our broken lives, that you are a treasure within us. So we know we're going to get a lot of help this week as we begin to, if we haven't done already, looking at this stuff and looking to develop and to grow in our relationships, because you put the lonely in families. You want us to be complete. And we pray that what we experience here at Brookside will grow and grow and grow. And that we'll welcome many more people who discover what it is to be themselves in this church community. Father, I pray for those who maybe will be prayed for by Eileen in a few moments. I pray for others who want prayer for anything around this, that will be bold and courageous in asking for help. We thank you for reality, we thank you for honesty, and we thank you for openness. So protect and deepen our relationships, we pray, this week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Time for some refreshments, I think.